First Samuel chapter 1. Tonight, First Samuel chapter 1. I've really enjoyed the singing. I usually bring a handkerchief with me because if I cry, my nose runs and all that stuff. But I forgot it, so she gave me these things, my wife. I forgot them. Very good singing. God is good. It'll take me the rest of the night to tell you how good God's been to me. But God gave you something to look at. 1 Samuel chapter 1, why don't y'all stand? I don't know how long we've been sitting, but if you like me, something happens and my waist down. If I sit for a while, I want to stand up. And I don't usually preach long, but I ain't promising nothing. But y'all just stand up for a while, shake your legs, whatever. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look at this lady named Hannah tonight. Now it said a certain man of Ramoth, Lord help me. I got thinking about the goodness of God sitting over there and I can't hardly read, but I'm going to try. When God, I've been saved May 1st, I've been saved 50 years.
Amen.
Got saved when I was 24, just sorry and worth and mean as a devil. And got saved and got in church, my own church I go to now, and I think, man, I'd really like to serve God. I'd really like to do something. Then I always think, you can't. You've been signed, you've done this, and done that, and done all this stuff that you can't. And then a preacher told me, he said, son, God forgive you of all that. You can serve God. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. See, I started reading my Bible after I got saved to find out if all them preachers was lying or not. I thought, God really did say that all through the Bible. So it's good. I mean, that's just good to be saved.
Amen.
Good to be in church on Friday night.
Yeah.
Ain't no Friday night football going on, no way. So I mean, where else would you be?
Yeah.
But in church, if they got it. Right, let's go back to verse 1. Now, there's a certain man, if Ramoth of Zophim, Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, son of Jeroboam, son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, son of Zeph, an Ephraelite. If you pronounce those names different, hallelujah, you're probably right, and I'm wrong. Verse 2, it said he had two sons, two wives. Name of one was Hannah. Name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. We know the story, and you can be seated. We know the story. Read through it. They lived together. Hannah had no children. And the only thing Hannah desired were children. That's it. Now, I don't know much about revival. I've been in some real good meetings where stuff happened and they carried on after the meeting was over. I've been in some where a whole group of people got saved and all that, and that's great. But I know revival, to have revival, you got to be vibed in the first place,
yeah.
Right? You can't read nothing if you ain't done it once.
Yeah.
So if I was for us that are saved,
yeah.
Now if you're lost, you can be saved tonight. Preacher won't care, won't get upset.
Right.
You can come down, get right with God, be grace. Have the victory our brother talked about tonight. That's great. We need revival.
Amen.
I do. I don't know about y'all. Our country needs revival. We're in a mess. Great, big, gigantic mess. It was a mess in Hannah's day. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. This is as big a mess as we are. Maybe worse, I'm not sure. I wasn't around back then. They were in a mess. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. That word means valuable. In those days, there was no open vision. God wasn't talking to anybody. God wasn't saying anything. And this book back then was very valuable. It's valuable right now. There's folks in India, ain't ever seen one, and ain't got one. Very valuable thing. It's God's word. I've had them all my life. You probably have too. They were in a mess. We're in a mess. My country needs God. Our day and Hannah's run side by side as far as I'm concerned. You can turn to Isaiah. You don't have to. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. God tells Isaiah, Israel's in a mess. Their cry won't listen to me. They rebel against me. I don't even know. That's God speaking of his people. Now, we'll read a good bit of this portion, probably 15 verses in chapter 1. But Hannah, get out after a while. Hannah shared a husband. None of you women want to do that. She shared a house, but she could not share children. Could not share children. And the reason she knew it was God. God would not give her children, and all she wanted was children. That's all. That's it. That's the bottom line. Give me children. What do you want? Now, I'm going to ask you 3 or 4 times before I get done. What do you want? That's good to have stuff. What do you really want? What's in your mind, in your heart right now? Bottom line, I got to have it. And see, Hannah, verse 5, she's in poverty. She ain't got none. Let's read verse 4 in the bowels of the mighty. I mean, chapter 2, sorry. Verse 3, this man went out from city year to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests of the Lord's, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons, all her daughters, porches. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. That's all she wanted was a child. That's it. What's in your heart? I think sometimes we got so much that we don't have any poverty. I mean, we go to bank, we go to a loan company, we go here, we go there, we get this, we'll figure it out in our mind. And sometimes we say we need God, we trust God, until we get somewhere. He's all we got. That's Hannah. She's after a child. She's got no son. No son at all. What does she want? She wants a baby, wants a boy, wants a son. What do you want? What's in your heart that you just think you're going to die if it don't happen? That's Hannah. That's her. That's what she looks at. Genesis 30 verse 1 says that when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. She said, Jacob, I want children. Give them to me. Jacob's thinking, I ain't God. She's bankrupt. And can I tell you something else? She's got something that we really do need. I need, I said, we, not y'all. What we really need, she's got a burden. Tucked over around concrete on her shoulders. All she wants is a boy, and she ain't got one. That's all she's after. That's all she wants, and she don't have one. You know when that burden left her? When the boy showed up. If you really got a burden, tide won't wear it out. You can't get soap and wash it off. You're going to tote it everywhere you go until God grants what it is. You're about to die if you don't get it. Look at verse 5. Notice this barrier. Verse 5 says, unto Hannah, he gave worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb up. All her gladness is stolen because she's got no kid. All of her goodness is gone because she's got no child. All her generosity, everything about her is gone because I've got to have a boy. I need a child. What do you need? I know what I need. But to bust my gut. But I wouldn't say that up here, but it's about to drive me nuts. I'm looking for 4 men. I'm begging God, my wife and I, for 4 men to go to India or start a church in America. That's about to kill me. Serious. I lie. And I can't do that. I can't coerce. I can't beg. I can't pull. God does that. not me. That's what she's after. And you think, see, the thing about Hannah is she can't understand is she wants one. And they think God's good. God's my friend. God's my Savior. And He is. When I'm in trouble, He puts His arms around me. He loves me. She says, I'm eligible for a baby. I'm eligible. I'm healthy. I'm a woman. I can have a baby. I'm eligible. I ain't got one. If you ain't careful in that situation, you say, God, what's the matter, God? God ain't sick. God's not. God's fine. God's just wandered away, maybe. Y'all been there? I've been there. Y'all been there. Folks with white hair like I got, y'all been there. You know what led her to God? You know what led her to beg and cry and plead and squall and act weird? You know what done it? Her poverty. Her poverty. Something she didn't have. And she recognized God's the only thing, only one that can do it. Hallelujah. I hate that. I don't know what I'm doing, but there it is. God puts you in a corner. Y'all ever been in a corner? Huh?
Sure.
Sometimes God just says, okay. Jim, when you preach, you do this, do that, and you think everything's fine and everything's right. Jim, I'm going to show you. I really am God. And He sticks them in a corner. Because, see, I'm going to figure it out. That's God, if I got a problem, she'll tell you. I'm going to figure it out. If it's money, I'm going to figure out how you get it. I'm going to figure it out. Something else, I'm going to figure it out. I was raised that way. Most of you old fellas was too. And God said, okay, I'll put you in the corner, boy. Now you figure it out. That's where she is. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That's where she is. She's in the corner. See, God drove her to that poverty so He could show her, I'm God. I'll take care of you. I'm God. So she's there. Now, it's almost funny, but it's not. Look at verse 6. And her adversary, that's that other wife, provoked her sore far to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Pestered her to death. That's what that word means in verse 6. Provoked, that means you pestered her. Y'all know what pester means, don't you? Y'all country, y'all know exactly that's what she did. And if you read verse 6 and 7, they'd go to church. Well, Elkanah, he'd be the man, he'd be out there. And then that Peninnah, she'd be here. She's got boys and girls. So they're following her into church. They're behind her. Here comes Hannah. And she ain't got no kids. Right? And I guarantee you, Peninnah, if it's anything like today, she's making a big deal about her kids and, you know, looking at Hannah, look at this. You ain't got nothing. Poor Hannah's walking in. She's thinking, oh, I'll just knock her head off. Unless she's real spiritual, she might have thought that. So they go in and they make a parade and pesters her, provoked her. She don't like it. If we're not careful, we let that get in our attitude. That word fret means to wear away. Wear away. It means to gnaw, to rub, to irritate, to just eat you up. That's what that means. She wants a boy. That's her heart's desire. That's all she wants. She wants a boy. Verse 7, they go to church year by year. When she went up to the house of God of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Now, can you imagine them coming into church, preacher? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that crowd? They come into church and sit on, say, the third row. And you got him and the first wife. And we'll say they got six kids. And then you got Hannah. Hannah's ticked off. The husband, he's trying to figure out what's wrong with her. Real reason, verse 7, ain't no man ever figured out what's wrong with a woman. He's trying to figure it out. So they on the third row. She's ticked off. He's confused. Peninnah's eat up with pride. Reckon they worshipped any that day. Reckon anything happened that day? I sort of doubt anything happened that day in God's house, and it was all on the third row. Because everybody contributes to worship.
Yeah.
Really, you think a preacher's the main dude? No, he ain't. Everybody else contributes to worship.
That's right.
If I come in mad at that guy, well, I ain't even mad at him. I don't know who he is. I come in ticked off at him. I mean, really mad. He'll probably be fine. I won't worship a lick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where they are. So they come to church. They sit there provoked. Look at verse 7. Notice her privation. She's getting serious now. She's getting serious. It said, as he did so year by year, when she went to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and didn't eat. She couldn't eat. You say, why couldn't she? She wanted a boy. She wanted a boy. Really? You said that affected me. You ain't ever had a burden then. Really? I'm just being honest. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. We got a boy and got a daughter. Kid's 40, Jim. Jim's 40, and the girl's what? 46, 47. 47, got six grandkids. Well, Jim was raised in a preacher's home, good kid, to turn about 13. And then I looked in his eyes one day and I thought, oh my God, he's going to be just like I was. And he did. Started drinking about 16, started smoking dope. Big football player, got scholarship, Georgia. We went all over the place. About 6'5", 290, big kid, strong, joined the Navy. And these days I couldn't eat. Things would be great at church. People would walk the aisle, they'd get saved, they'd join. I'd go home and think, glory to God, what a day at God's house. And then I'd think, Jim's lost. And I'd think, well, and there it is, that's her. Am I right? That's her. You see, the taunts of the other woman made food tasteless. Trouble made food tasteless. Time, I don't know how long that went on, but time after time after time made food tasteless. She wanted a boy. And that's all. That's all she wanted was a boy. I just wanted Jim to get saved. I'm the third, he's the fourth. I just wanted him to get saved. All the travail made food tasteless. All the tears made food tasteless. Jim, to get saved at 21. We wept and begged God and prayed and cried and squalled and for God 21 years. My mama done it for 24 if I ever got saved. That's her. What do you want? What's gonna kill you? God doesn't send it when you pray. That's where she is. She's her privation. Notice her probing. Look at her husband. You know verse 8? He says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why? Every time I read that, you know what I think of? Men were no smarter then than they are now.
Yeah.
Makes me feel better. I thought I was an idiot. They were too. Seriously. He says, why? Yeah, can you imagine? Wow. He said, what are you crying about? Hey, we got married. We've been married 50 years in December. We'll be married 49 right now. December, if it gets that far, we'll be married 50. I never seen my mama cry much. Cry in church. But I've never just seen her cry. And my wife, you know, she started crying. I thought, what in the world's wrong with her? I didn't beat her. I didn't fussed at her. I hadn't had no fights. What's the matter? She looked at me and said, women just cry. I said, okay. Sounds good. He didn't know it either. He said, what's wrong with you? But you know what this is? He couldn't substitute for what she wanted.
Right.
He couldn't. He loved her. He gave her twice as much or more than he did that other wife. But he loved Hannah. He gave her all that. He would not substitute for what she wanted. She wanted a boy. She wanted a boy. Didn't care what anything else. She just wanted a boy. What do you want? I mean, really, for God, what do you want? This preacher likes to see this place filled up. I guarantee you. I pastored for 25 years. All I wanted was to see people saved and fill that building up. That's all I wanted. She'll tell you, but I drove everybody in the world crazy. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. See people get right with God, get saved. Come in here, sit yourself down, listen to preaching, go get some more, bring them in here, sit down, get saved, fill this thing up. That's all I live for. As a pastor, that's that guy. That's him. Anybody that's worth a nickel, that's what they're after. Man. Seriously. So, his passion. But look, verse 7, notice her pain. It's killing her. I'm talking about burden. It's killing her. It's killing her. It's almost a son. I'll show you. I was in my study one day. Up there one morning, studying. My wife comes in. I'm sitting there and she looks at me and she said, she's weeping. She said, Jim, she said, our boy was going to hell. I said, I know that. She said, nah, she said, Jim was going to hell. I said, I know that. She said, Jim's going to hell. So, I mean, we got down on our knees, serious, and crawled around for a while on my office floor. You say you're crazy, probably. But I left that place, and she did too, knowing that one day James Oscar Roberts IV will get right with God. And it was, what, six years later? Guess what happened? He got saved. And my living in our living room had been preaching for a long time now. But that's her. She was at pain. She was aching all over just because she wanted something. And all the way she's going to get it was God. So she went to God as killing her. Look at verse 7. It says she wept. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Wept sore. Look at verse 15. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Said, I ain't drunk anything. She said, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. She's howling. She's weeping. She's begging God. She's saying, God, I can't live. I got to see this happen. People ask me all the time, how do you do this? How do you do that? I really don't know. All I know is I begged God for everything I've ever seen God do. I begged him. Amen. She'll tell you that. I ain't got a lick of sense. I like simple things so a simple guy like Jim Roberts can understand it. As far as I'm concerned, all I need is God. Amen. If I got God in here, outside, everything else take care of itself. Yes. That's Hannah. Said, God, I'm dying down here. Yeah. Hey. Sorrow, grieved. Where's our sobs at? I wrote that down. Yeah. Where's our tears? Where's our seeking and begging God? And we need all kind of stuff. We need websites and we need Facebook, I guess. And all we need a person. I know that. And again, none of it. I don't care. I can't operate none of it, but I'm like, yes, and we need it. But I tell you what, we need God. Amen. We just need God. You say, well, you get God on your knees, and then that's in this book right here. That's where you get God. God's all through the pages of this thing. God wants to answer your prayer. He just wants, I think, sometimes to make sure that we really mean business with God and really want him. So she's begging God. When I had people come to me at the church and God, they say, Jim, we need a constitution. I'd say, hallelujah, get one. Need a better financial report. I'd say, glory to God, let's get one. All this other stuff. I said, hallelujah, let's get there. Let's do it. I don't care. But then we prayed on Wednesday nights and then prayed for nothing but lost people. So we'd go back in there, men, 15 or 20 men, and there'd be some more out there, and they'd go home. And I'm back there praying for their cousins and their brothers and their wives and all that stuff. And they sitting out there running their mouth, and then they go home. And I'm thinking, come on, really? I mean, really? Christ's prayer for them. Prayer room's wide open. I'm saying, come in and beg God. Ask God to do something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not being mean, please. Sometimes my voice, well, I can't help the way I talk. It makes it sound like I'm angry. I'm not. Seriously, she'll know if I'm mad or not. I'm not. nobody would admit. I mean, we went one time 3 months and nobody got saved. And I thought I was going to die. I thought before God, I'd just die. Because that's what I was there for. That's what they elected me for. And we'd visit me and her and other guys and give them to them. And nobody ever asked me about that. And I'm thinking, why? That's your job. It's mine. That's what we're here for. Folks outside these doors are headed to a devil's hell. And the only people going to reach them is us. That's it. All over America, they're closing churches all over this country. I don't want to see that. I don't like it. This woman is in pain. But look at verse 11. She's fixing to mean business. She looks at God, and she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts," that means Almighty God, "if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden." Look at these next three words and remember me. She says, "God, if you forgive me, please. If you've forgiven me, God, please remember me. Just remember me." Samson prayed the same prayer. He said, "God, please remember me." She said, "Lord, remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." She said, "God, recognize me." She said, "God, remember me." Have you ever thought God didn't know where you was? I have. I mean, I just be honest. I've wondered sometimes, "God, do you even know I'm in 6 Mile or I'm in Edinburgh? God, do you know where New Delhi, India is? You know what? I mean, God, do you remember me? I'm down here. You told me to come over here. Here I am." That's her. She said, "God, please remember me." Then she said, "Oh, boy." She said, "God, reproduce me." Oh, boy. One now. She wasn't saying next week. She's praying. When I pray, I expect God to answer, don't y'all? About 60 seconds, long enough to wait. I pray, God answers. I read that in the Bible. That's the way I pray. Don't happen like that a lot. Sometimes it does. Verse 11, she just remembers, just surrenders. She says, "God, you give me that boy, and I'll donate him right back to you." Old Jim walked, our son walked in my study one day. Everybody else would knock on the door, and he'd just walk in, sit down. He said, "Dad," he said, "I think God called me to preach." I said, "Lord, help us." In my mind, I thought, "God, really, really." Not ever dawned on me. I never asked him, never talked to him about it. I was over the world happy that my boy wasn't going to hell. I didn't preaching, nothing in my mind. My boy ain't going to hell. God saved him. Answer my prayer. That's all I was after. She said, "God, you give it to him, I'll give him back." When Jim said that, I said, "That's great, son. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it."
Yes.
She said, "I'll give him back to you, and you can keep him." That's what she said. Verse 11, "I give him back, you got him, you keep him. Pretty good bargain." I think that's great. Hey, if ever one of my grandyoungers decided to serve God, go to mission field, end up in Ethiopia and Egypt, and all them other places, I'd care less. I'd miss them, but I wouldn't care. Serving God, that's what counts. God gives them to us. I'm just going to give them back. If you can use them, use them. I'll see them when I can. We got eternity.
That's right.
Do all this other stuff. Yeah. Really. We can serve God now. Shoot the bull, whatever you want to call it, in glory.
Right.
Serve God now.
Amen.
Verse 11, she's in dead earnest. Really, she ain't playing. She's tired of being cold, tired of being childish, and just plain tired. You ever got like that? I hate playing games. Really, I don't play games real well. My football, I play that. Basketball, some volleyball when I was younger. I'm too old for it now. But just playing games, I don't like it. I just do something. And that's what she's saying. I'm tired. Tired of being cantankerous. Tired of being cold. Tired of begging. I'm tired. God, won't you do something? Please, God, do something. She's desperate. Tired. Fed up. And desperate with God. Her priority prayer. I want a son. She's exact. We prayed, I want Jim to get saved. Jim get saved. Didn't talk to him. loved him, didn't pester him. If you pestered him, it drove him crazy. So we sat down and just loved him. He loved us, lived like hell. And we prayed he wouldn't get in jail, and wouldn't get locked up, and wouldn't get in the hospital, and wouldn't ruin himself before God could save him. And God answered every bit of that. That's what she's praying. What's yours? Desires. What you want? I mean, not, but don't beat around the bush. You know. You know, I don't know. I want to know. When you ask me to pray, I'll pray. I don't know names, but I'll pray. Seriously. I'll pray. You know I don't. I know what's on mine. I done told you. Oh, my great and young saved. Oh, my youngins. Glory to God. She eliminates that. If to do, you're going to have to eliminate all the stuff. All the stuff. All the stuff. Stuff's got to go. Show has got to go. Show has got to go. This is talking to God and begging God for some real. Not a show. I hate that. Just real from God. Amen. Very elementary. She just asked God. She just asked God. Very emphatic. Nothing else would do. No compromises. She was glad for what it got done for her, but she wanted a man child. She wanted a child. She knew God's good to me. Got a good husband. I don't much care about that other woman, but I got a good husband. He's good to me. Everything's fine at the house. I just want a boy. You know what she woke up thinking? Boy, I'd like to have a boy. You know what she thought of it? Lunch? Boy, I'd like to have a boy. At night, you know what she thought? I'd love to have a boy. That's all that was on her mind. Verse 12, very persistent. Came to pass that she continued praying. She just praying. Verse 16 through 18. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter, but I for the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thereunto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of them. Wow. One day, just bam, bam, just like that. Oh, how many years? But just like that. The God's okay. Going on. Everything's fine. God's going to answer. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that way God works with stuff? I mean, Jim, we prayed for him forever. And he called his mama one day and said, Ma, where's it to the ocean or beach, whatever y'all go to? And he called her and said, I need a girl. I'd like to meet a girl to date. And she said, girl, decent girl going to date you, son. Just being honest with him is the truth. Yeah. So he said, Ma, I don't want to hear that. Tell me about it. So she mentioned his wife now, but we knew him, my daughter-in-law's family from forever. And she mentioned my old him. He said, oh, well, he said, well, forget it then. She's pretty rough on him, and then, you know, riled too, but she'd forget it then. Well, long story short, Autumn, I mean, crazy, but she met him. He was in the Navy, and she met him. He's down in St. Mary's, Georgia, almost in Jacksonville. He drove halfway. He got a ride. She met him. They come home. He'd come home one Sunday. He'd come to church, but one Sunday he'd come sit on the front. He's by himself. He'd sit back on the back. Wore a pair of shorts, big old hat on. I don't care what you wear, but that's what he had on. He's got tattoos that were, but and I don't care about them either. I just don't like needles. But that Sunday, they sat on the front row. No tears come in his eyes. And they went, him and Autumn went somewhere. Sunday night, they come back. Big old tears come in his eyes that night. And so I'm talking at the church and come back down to the house. They in the living room, him and Autumn. I said, son, you okay? He said, I'm okay. I'll be all right, Daddy. So I told her, let's just go. Some people at church were going to eat, so we just left. Come back, and both of them sitting there grinning like possums. And I said, what's happened? He said, Dad, I got saved. Just like that. I mean, bam. Just all them prayers, all the tears, all the crying, all that, like that. Yeah. You know, it's just gone, just like that. And that's the way. I mean, if you could figure God out, it wouldn't be near as much fun. You know, it wouldn't be near as exciting if you could figure God out. Yeah. But that's the way God worked. And then God called him to preach. And I remember I went to prison every Sunday morning for 22 years and preached and visited and stuff like that. So I said, son, you come preach. So I remember sitting back there. And he got up to preach, and I thought, God help, I must be dreaming. God, is that really Jim up there preaching? That's what Hannah got that day. She said, go in peace. Everything's fine. God's heard your prayer. God is going to answer it. But you know the best thing about this? It was better. I ain't the only kid she got. I mean, really, I ain't the only kid she got. She got three or four more. So when they said God's good and all those blessings, he don't stop with just one.
Yeah, man.
He don't stop just saving you. If you allow God, God will use you.
Yeah.
He gave her all kind of kids. No, Hannah, she'd go down to church. I don't know how many times they went that year after she gave Samuel down there to Eli. She'd give that. She'd go back there and say, there he is. She bought him, made him a coat, took him down there. What I'm asking is what you think, what you're asking for. What do you want? What burden you carry? What you got to have? What have you got to have? What burdens your heart? And I wrote down, what is your poverty? What is it? What do you need? I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody lost you, but just need to see saved. Maybe a burden you carry. I tell you what, according to the promises in this, if you'll find a place somewhere with God, I don't pray real good and open. I'm going to be honest with you. She'll tell you that. I mean, we pray together some. I mean, just blunt honest. I'm a private guy. I pray a lot upstairs by myself. But you can find a place by yourself. Just get in there and shut the door and talk to God like you talk to your daddy. That's the way I do. I mean, all these big words, I don't know them. I just say, God, this is Jim. You know what Jim wants? And I'll tell God, and I'll ask him to forgive me. He knows my heart anyway. He knows how worthless I am after I've been saved 50 years. So I just talk to God. You know, he's keep nothing.
Yeah.
Find a place, shut the door, get in there, stand up, lean down, lay down on your bed, or lay on your back, whatever way you want to pray. And just ask him. Say, God, this is killing me. This is absolutely killing me, and I've tried to fake it and hide it and pan out and paint it and everything else, but I'm dying. Well, my heart, I'm dying.
Yeah.
My heart's broken. I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hiding it. God, please do something for me.
Yeah.
I'm hurting all over. Please do something for me. And I tell you what, I ain't going to promise you when, but I'll guarantee you, if you do it enough, God's going to hear your prayer.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
He'll hear your prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for these sweet people that are sitting and listening to me try to preach tonight. And God, I pray. I know somebody here has got something on their hearts killing them. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd speak to their heart and tell them, show them they know it already.